This morning I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to close out this series called Winning on Purpose with the same scripture that we opened it with back on the very first Sunday when Pastor Kip came and preached for us. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with the 16th verse. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it was November the 1st of last year, 2017, Game 7 between the National League champions, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the American League champions, the Houston Astros. And it ended, we know, with a win by the Houston Astros to receive that team's first ever world championship. And we celebrated it. You know, it was the result of talent. It was a result of great inspiration. And it was the result of intentional building of the team by Jeff Luno over the past 3 years. There was so much celebrating. If you were here right before the service started, you saw the intro was the big celebration at the end of Game 7. Then it was followed by a big parade in the city of Houston, and then lots and lots of interviews of the different players. So much celebrating, and it was very well earned. Shortly after that win came the new inspirational logo of Never Settle. A reminder that they celebrated with a purpose. They're celebrating not only what they did, but they are celebrating because they intend to keep pushing forward to repeat. This past week, there was a lot of celebrating. We celebrated Chris's graduation and other graduations. Right, it was a great time. It was last week in the evenings we had our weekday learning center and they were graduating the four-year-olds. That was pretty precious in their little white, you know, gowns as they walked up and a really emotional experience for the parents that were there. But a great celebration. I've been seeing on Facebook people are celebrating elementary kids moving into junior high kids moving into high school, you know, people graduating from college. This has just been a great time. And there are more celebrations to come, right? There's more graduations. My nephew graduates this next weekend. And so the celebrations, they all just continue. And the thing is, with all these transitions that we celebrate, they're really not just an end in themselves, right? We're not done. Life is not done when you graduate from high school. It's a transition into the next thing. We celebrate, but we celebrate with a purpose of looking forward to what it is that this next step is. This weekend, and thanks again to Phil for that fabulous song, we are celebrating Memorial Day. We celebrate because we want to remember those women and men who gave even their lives as a sacrifice for our country that we could be free and be sitting here today worshiping freely and enjoy all the other benefits of that. For many of you, it's a holiday for Joshua and I and some other folks. We're going to annual conference after worship today, so we'll be together with about, 800 of our closest friends over the course of the next few days. Starts on Sunday, ends on Wednesday, but it always is on Memorial. But you're mostly off tomorrow, celebrating with barbecues, celebrating with time with family, with just a rest maybe from work, but celebrating with a purpose, right? There's a reason this holiday exists. It's designed to help us remember. Well, some 2,000 years ago, there were 11 disciples who went up with the resurrected Jesus to a mountain in Galilee where they celebrated. They celebrated his defeat of death in his resurrection. They celebrated suddenly having a new awareness that he was, in fact, who he had said he was. He was God incarnate. That he had power even over the wind and the waves and over sickness and even over death. And it was an amazing celebration. And it was a celebration with a purpose. And here's the purpose, because Jesus gave those marching orders right there. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he said. Go, right? Why don't you say that with me? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That passage is called the Great Commission because in it, Jesus gave the church, all of his gathered followers, all over the world, for all time, a purpose. In these verses, and it starts with, go and make disciples. You know, we gather each week and we celebrate. We have fabulous worship. We sing and we pray and we read scripture and we just hear anointed messages. Okay, well, at least we sing and we pray and we read scripture. We regularly celebrate Holy Communion. But you know what? The celebration is never intended to end in this room. We gather and we celebrate for the purpose of the big so that I call, so that our time together, we are inspired and equipped to go and to make disciples by being disciples sent into the world with the Spirit of Christ. The last 2 years, if you've been attending for a while, you know that we've been going through what's called the Vibrant Church Initiative. We've been working to make our church even more radical in our hospitality, more focused in our disciple-making, more generous in our stewardship, and more intentional in our outreach to both the weekday learning center and to the larger community, so that we can be the church that Jesus calls us to be. We can be those people who follow Jesus that our community needs us to be, to transform lives for forever. We gather and we grow disciples so that we can go and take our discipleship to the streets, to our families, to our schools, to our places of employment, to our community, to all the world, to live our faith out loud so that others are drawn to this God that we worship, so that the cycle of disciple making continues and lives continue to be transformed for forever. Go make disciples. They're the Great Commission. The last VCI prescription that we received and that we actually acted on was to look at the governance of our church. A compelling topic, I know. But to consider what it is that it would look like. What is it that we might need to do in the way that we even govern our church that reflects our passion for staying focused on disciple making? They asked that we consider what's called a one-board model, where basically the administrative teams of trustees and finance and SPR get absorbed into a single board. It's called the one-board model. After deliberating on that and having a task force on that, we really decided that's not really where our church needs to be right now, that we still feel like those committees, SPR and trustees and finance, play a very valuable role in our church and that they do a good job and that this isn't the time to do away with those. But we did decide that we needed to look really specifically at our ad board and the way that we do business in there, to see if it's effective and efficient. And decisions were made. The task force recommended and ad board agreed that to decrease the size of ad board from about 31 to about 13 so that group could be more effective and efficient in keeping the main thing, in keeping us focused on that main thing, helping people to take their next step with Jesus on the path of discipleship. To change from being mostly a report-receiving body to a vision-making and a focused group. To increase the focus and the accountability to help us win on purpose when it comes to making disciples, growing disciples, sending disciples, multiplying disciples, so that lives and families and schools and community are transformed forever. This year, we also began the process of looking seriously at better positioning ourselves as a church to free up more of our resources for ministry and for outreach by eliminating our debt. 4.5 years ago, the Wesley Building and the Wesley Sanctuary were built. And it has been a great thing for our church, not only in worship, giving this a designated worship space and giving worship space over there and concert space, also the teaching space and the community outreach where we've had support groups that have been over there. It has been well used. This summer, we're going to replace the roof on the Life Center that I understand has been for years leaking and coming down into the ceilings and the walls and ruining some things. And we need to preserve that building because a lot of ministry, important ministry, happens in that building. Our youth group meets in that building and lives are changed. Our weekday learning center has a number of their classrooms in that building. We use that building for community outreach. It's important that we preserve the things that we have invested in. And then we want to pay off the rest of our debt. And that will, you'll be invited to be a part of that come next fall. I know you're going to be excited about that. But at the end of all of that, we will celebrate being a debt-free church at the end of all that. Debt-free, though, with a purpose. The purpose to use those funds, it's about $142,000 a year, every year, that we use to service our existing debt and repurpose that to increase our ministry and our outreach so that lives and families and schools and the community are transformed forever as we live out our purpose of making disciples of Jesus Christ to transform our world. Those are two big church, whole church kinds of ways that we are living out the Great Commission. Both, though, are designed to help us touch individual lives. And we celebrate each individual transformation. Because individuals matter to Jesus. There are stories after story told in Scripture of people who approach Jesus and whose lives are touched and transformed by the power of Jesus as individuals, as they allow His life-giving, life-transforming Spirit to be in them. Today, earlier, you see that we're celebrating all those who have committed themselves to teaching. Because that's a part of the Great Commission, right? That's another one of the verbs that are given in the Great Commission, to go and teach. And lives are transformed in small groups as we learn and digest and understand more about Scripture and more about God as we study the Scripture in small groups. So if you have faith today, if along the way in your life, if you have learned anything about the God of Scripture, you want to thank somebody who took the time out to teach you that. You had someone at some point in your life pour themselves into you. So celebrate that, but celebrate it with a purpose to remind those who do step up to teach that they are loved and appreciated, and remind ourselves how the church needs people who are willing to step forward and say, "Here I am," and share the hope that is within them with other people. Some of you today may be called to this ministry of teaching, and so I invite you to dust out your ears. Listen closely. Is it you that God is calling? after the 11 o'clock service today, we are also going to celebrate a young woman who is going to be baptized out in our fountain following the 11 o'clock service. Baptizing. Another part of the Great Commission. Baptism, you know, it marks us into the family of God in Christ. We are claimed as God's children. We are given the presence of the Holy Spirit to live in our lives as believers and empower us to live out our faith. A cause to celebrate. Absolutely. And we celebrate that with a purpose. To claim another individual life that is at once both transformed immediately and enters into a process of transformation. And so, you know, the question is, what about you? Is baptism, is that what is the next step of faithfulness for you in your own life? Is baptism for your children the next step of faithfulness? And then the last part of the Great Commission is to remember. To remember. To remember that Jesus is present with us always. What a marvelous promise that is. We don't walk this journey of faith alone. We don't face the things that we face in our lives alone. Not only do we have the wonder of a faith community to walk that walk with us, but we have the very Spirit of the living Christ who promises to be with us always. I am truly counting on that Spirit of Christ. As I said earlier, Pastor Joshua and I go to annual conference today for a few days of fabulous worship and many, many meetings. We will also be ordaining and commissioning new pastors. Joshua is going to be recognized as one of our newly licensed pastors. That's very exciting. I'm excited. I will be reappointed to start my fifth year here at Itasca City United Methodist Church. I'm very excited about that so that together we can be about the business of making disciples of Jesus Christ. What are you celebrating today about the faith? You are called to be made into a disciple who makes additional disciples. By going into the world and living your faith out loud. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Lord, we thank you for all the things that we have to celebrate. We know you call us to celebrate with purpose. Looking behind us for sure and being so happy and pleased at the accomplishments and the steps and the faith, but Lord, always having our eyes looking forward because we know you are not done with us yet. Help us to be your disciples, committed to making disciples. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.